Okay.
Wait,
Is that gonna catch
here.
me unawares?
Well, no, I just told you.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So when it comes to like Jagger ripping into Sonny and all of that, I don't know that Sonny very well. I've heard of that Sonny. I know the things that he's done. But when it comes to the emotional, like, just finally, I didn't see Sonny do that stuff. So I'm not there.
But yes, you did.
True.
But yes, you did. Because he did it to Carly and he did it to Brenda and he did it to
I would have to have seen it, seen it.
hasn't seen most of that though either. Because
Oh.
he's when did you start watching
I,
VH
so t so
consistently?
technically, te I didn't really start paying heavy attention into GH until the podcast, really, until a year before the podcast. So
Okay.
I'm 6 years, 7 years at the most of
Yeah.
constant watching. Now, I have been exposed to GH my entire life. I knew who Luke and Laura was. I knew who Lucky was. I knew Liz and Lucky had a romance. I knew about the boxcar. All sorts of important, iconic things that have happened through General Hospital, I've heard about. I know about. I've been exposed to, but I never saw them.
Okay.
What I was saying about it, though, is that it was a well-written scene. It was balanced. Sonny got his BS digs back in, although they were, his BS take on it, but that's Sonny.
Right.
But it was a use of history. And it was able to show the new audience why this guy hated this guy,
Which is important.
which is important. And it's a beat that General Hospital has missed
Oh
very
yeah,
frequently.
absolutely. It's awesome. It's awesome for people who like it, and it's awesome for me too because it's good. Let
Right.
me
That's
not
the thing is that
disparage.
it's well written. It's one of my biggest complaints about Chris and Dan were missing the beats. They could do a romantic proposal.
Yeah, Kelly, it did because we
Oh,
were just talking
yeah.
and being late, and so I'm like, I'm clicking buttons.
Yeah, Kelly, we're just having a free for all
Let
today, honey.
me reset. Let me reset now that we're actually
Okay,
broadcasting.
reset
Hey,
everything and we'll
everybody,
start up again.
get on out of that student union. Climb on into the classroom. It's time for a completely unstructured free period regarding days, GH, soaps in general, and I think Angela wants to talk about Twitter for a minute. So gear up for that, everybody.
Oh, yeah, strap in.
Strap
We're
in,
going
get
to do
ready to
some
go.
unschooling today.
So basically my mom's away, so we're playing around. We're hanging, we're being unstructured and just being silly, and we invited Tony. Your name's Tony, right? Tony.
Yes,
And Matt's
100%
his usual level of prepared.
Yes, I am Tony. I am Angela's main co-conspirator most of the time. I'm equally petty, but slightly less messy than our dear Angela.
I love it. I love it. That's a great way.
But I feel like that pretty much sets the stage there. But yes, no, this is going to be fun. I can already feel it.
Oh no, it's a great time here, not only on the 10th floor, but at Salem University for Days for Dummies.
Absolutely. And see, I think what we're letting people in on is that while I may be the professor, Mama Cat's the disciplinarian.
We all feel like we
And
have
so while
to,
the
yeah.
proverbial cat's away, the
The
mice play.
mice are playing. See, now Tony, we've been excited to have Tony on here. Not only is she breaking into new worlds with Angela on their own little the fun prattle of petty that they're eventually going to go very deep on, and we'll share all of that with you guys when it's ready to go. Kelly says hi, Tony. So welcome to the 10th Floor Podcast Network with a big open arms from Kelly. But
Yes, we love Kelly.
we've been excited for this because Tony is the most popular person at Bayside University. You know, everybody talks about Tony. It's all about Tony. And now Tony is here to
I
come
heard
party with us.
rumors, that she has homecoming queen on a lock.
Oh my God.
I
I
know.
love it when
And
universities
I just found
replicate
the
the high school
best
experience.
breath ever. You'll never see it coming.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right.
I'm going to get a ladder and climb and look in her window so I can get the same exact one.
I feel like we need to stage like a heist or something, like some sort of college heist. But instead of going after somebody's mascot, we should just go into Leo's costume trunk and just pull out all of our favorite bits. Because when it comes down to it, there is nobody that's going to throw together an ensemble like Leo's.
Hold on. But are any of us a size medium?
I'm definitely not. I passed medium a long time ago.
Size medium. At least one of them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we can just piece together things to make it all fit.
Like if you cut down the center of a pair of pants, I'm pretty sure if you like sewed it back together, that would one of those legs would be medium, possibly.
Maybe one of them.
I'm sorry, the whole medium thing always cracks me up.
I just whenever Leo shows up in a costume, it just cracks me up. I like that aspect, and I also like that they don't always have a strong reason for it either.
That's actually the best part.
It's Leo.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
The thing with Leo, he doesn't consider it a costume.
No,
he's getting dressed.
He's getting dressed for the occasion, of course.
And the occasion is Tuesday.
Is and the occasion performing is for him. A baby.
With Leo, well, every on, day is treat yourself day.
Come on, this is Leo. Leo, for him, the occasion is always him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What's the occasion? Me. I love it. It gives me is these brief glimpses and these moments into how deeply fun days of our lives can be when all of the gears are working in unison and everything is free flowing. And fancy free without people on strike or getting fired, which is so splashing over the screen. It is so hard to remove yourself from the real life. Once again, you know, I say it every week now because every week it's still apparent. And so flashes like that is just reminiscent to me or nostalgic of a time that I never saw of.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, we've talked about how each of the four soaps have their niche. And Days is quite firmly the camp.
We are leaning into it, always has been,
and we love it. They hit the family notes, they hit the, you know, romance and stuff like that, but they are the soap that is entertainment for entertainment's sake.
Yeah, I love it.
They're not the soap that does a whole lot of PSAs.
Right. So you're not going to get the Twitter crowd going, well, how come they're not pulling more out of this story to speak to this real life thing? Because they're not going to expect.
If anything, they're like
fighting the devil.
If anything, they're like, how did they accidentally stumble on a good point?
You know what? Kristen's actually making a lot of sense this week.
Are we sure that the writers know what they're doing now?
Well, right now on Days, it's I believe we're in strike time. Because they're
we're
so
still
far
in the scab
ahead.
Era. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm saying, like, if they actually make too much sense, you start worrying about the writers.
Right.
Not
I know, them. Right? Yeah. Somebody check. I need a wellness check on Ron. Wellness check on Ron.
Make sure Ron still's got his shrooms stocked up. I think he might have run out. These stories are a little grounded.
Yes.
Hey, Sandra. Welcome to class. We're just hanging out today. The winds were playing with her connection today, but you know what? She's here, and that's important. That's what matters.
Yes.
Look, we value consistency.
Yeah. And Kelly, of course, bracing for more Canadian extremes.
Oh, wow.
I need a good weather story on my soaps. That's what I want.
Well, you live in the place with eternal sunshine.
Right. That's why weather stories are super exciting, because I've never experienced it, nor do I have to.
And Tony has pretty good weather her way, too. Except when, you know, the grid goes down.
I need like a bliznado or something, you know, a blizzard bliznado? And a tornado at the same time.
That definitely sounds like something Days might give you.
You know, like a twister going through, picking up snow, and then it just throws snowballs all over the place, right? And so they're on set doing these scenes, having to duck and dive from these snowballs that are constantly being thrown at them from this tornado that they don't have the money to show you on screen.
And what you don't realize is that the tornado is actually being controlled by a weather machine run by Megan DeMira.
Oh my God.
Weather machine, you lost the plot because that's GH.
I like to.
Okay. I mean,
I mean, they would have to call it something else. It would have to be like a tornado creator or something, you know? Megan
that's
Damara's got the tornado creator. We've got to call Stop
yes.
or Steve.
Because otherwise, you know, GH is going to be like gimmick infringement.
I know, right?
Patrick and
That's our
Elizabeth are going to
camp.
write a letter
That's
to Ron.
our camp.
Kevin
Right?
wants to know
Yeah.
where Tony is. Tony likes to. Tony's a cartoon character. Tony's not real, is what it turns out to be.
Tony is real.
Tony is a
Tony
figment of
for
all of our
Tony keeps
imaginations.
things some things close to her vest because she has a child. And people in the, you know, soap opera community can be absolute pieces of
If they cared enough
not
to
good
actually
stuff.
click on this channel, they would know what I look like and my full name. And boy, oh boy, would I hear it.
Yeah, you would hear it. You
Because
would
it's not
hear
like
it.
I don't expose my real name to you people when I hover over this camera.
And when they make the connection between you and the outlet you're writing for.
Oh, I mean, I even changed. Oh, I changed my name to protect the innocent on that. Now I'm just staff writer there.
Okay. Because I was going to say, somebody's going to get some strongly worded,
Well,
you know.
that was also bleed over because I took over the other one or trying to. Well, I did for a minute, and then I'm like, man, damn, this is a lot of time. So much time. Oh my God, no time for anything else. Anyway, so I tried to do that for a week, and then I'm like, I can't put my name on all this garbage, and so I changed my name because I
To
was not
staff
proud of the
writer.
work to staff writer.
Okay. Well, you know.
Because I didn't want my name forever associated with pieces that I wasn't proud of.
Well, that makes absolute sense.
That's hilarious. And
It's just the reality of the
this
situation.
is what I love. This is what I love. Rather than up the game.
Didn't have
And
time.
write things that he's proud of.
Can you imagine, like, recapping four shows was already
Really
the whole day.
settled firmly into C minus territory. He's a D is for diploma kind of guy.
In that case, clicks, C is for clicks, is what it
And I did watch a little bit of GA, wrong show, Days of Our Lives this week. I did not get the whole kit and caboodle. But I did find out that Holly's awake.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, when it comes down to it, you're not going to get the entire kit and caboodle in just a couple of days or a week. You know, you need at least 2 months. It took me that long to learn what Rachel's parents' names were.
What's really funny, Tony, is when we were st first talking about starting this podcast, I had suggested it to Matt, and he was like, but how long can we really do that? Because once I'm watching, after a couple months, I'll know everything. I'm like, oh, honey, my sweet summer child, you don't understand Days of Our Lives.
Never seen a lick of winter. What's a White Walker? I don't know. I've
Right.
only seen
It's
peace
just,
in my
yeah.
days.
He had no idea what he was signing himself up for.
C is for
Oh, babe.
cliffhanger. I like it, Kelly. I love a good cliffhanger. I do. I do.
The thing about it is, days when they're doing their job, they do an excellent cliffhanger. I will say that.
I mean, you know, we
Coaching
I think that
days.
they played, I think they played, it was fun because they shot Harris, right? And that's played by Steve Burton. And they shot him real good after they announced that he was coming back to GH. And so it's like they were playing with the fact that he was leaving. And they're like, well, by the time this episode's out, he's definitely going to have to say something. And it's like they were, you know, and then there was like a real cliffhanger on that because then there's like the question, especially if you're not as tied into the workings of things as we are here on the podcasts. Like, that's a real, like, oh my God, is this it?
And there were a lot of people who thought that's how they were writing him off. And I'm like, he's here for another 4 or 5 months.
See,
He's not
but
going anywhere. But there
that's
were
the
a lot of
magic.
people.
Oh my gosh, I miss my innocence, honestly, of just watching without knowing, without seeing the reaction. I mean, I'm not complaining and saying I'm gonna quit doing this or anything. It's super fun and I love everybody here, including you, Kelly. Hey, Kelly, how's it going?
Stop trying to take my one fan.
I mean, hey, Sandra, how you doing, Sandra?
There you go. No offense, Sandra, but Kelly's really been here for me.
Angela really needs a lot of support is what she needs. She's
She's
somebody that craves on it. She thrives on nonstop support. So let's give it to her.
I need. She's like an
Speaking of
athlete
Angela.
that's attention. She needs the support. She needs the love. I mean, I'm just interesting all by myself, so I don't need any of it. You are
We appreciate it. We appreciate it.
phenomenal.
Let's dive into it a little bit with Tony. You're a special guest this week, Tony. I want to know what's your favorite? Which is your favorite of the shows? Is it still on?
At present, my favorite of the shows is General Hospital, but I have been a
Me too.
multi-show watcher for so long that I don't know if I could say what is my like all-time favorite, because there
That's
was a
fair.
time, Days, and there was a time when At the World Turns had me by the throat, and then All My Children as well. I
Okay.
never quite got into Guiding Light. I don't know why.
It's all right.
But I was a Bold and the Beautiful girly for a while, and
For
then
sure.
my grandparents and my mom are both Young and the Restless girlies, and so like it's if there's a soap, Passions also had a chokehold on me for
Okay.
quite some time.
So kind of a mix of like the story or the time of your life or what it is that was speaking to you.
All of
Yeah.
yes.
Okay, that's awesome though. I mean that's a good breadth and wealth of experience. Not completely tied into just one or two, which means that you don't live or die based off of what those one or two are doing, which makes it easier to be a happy fan.
Yeah, I mean, I
For
would
sure.
love to say that it was something as elevated as that. It's ADHD. It's ADHD.
I hear you. I hear you.
Although there is one thing that you focus on. What's your favorite ship, Tony?
Are you trying to get me hate? Because I actually like
Hey, you know what's
please, like
awesome?
you're quiet about it on those
You
Twitter
know
streets.
what's
I know.
great about the 10th floor, Tony, and the more you hang out with us, you're gonna see this. This is a hate-free zone. Spinelli and Maxie could be your favorite. Maxie and Levi could be your
Okay,
favorite.
well, one, Spinelli and
Look.
Maxie were freaking adorable this
They
year,
are. They
this
are.
week.
I
They
they
were
are
so great.
First and foremost, because yeah, duh,
Yeah,
Spinelli,
you
love
could be a
him.
Sprina, you
How
can be a Jex, you can be a Kevlar, you can be a Jassam, you can be
yeah,
a Liaison.
I'm a Lari anti, so that doesn't actually go over well with most people. But
Lari
I
anti?
and have been for many decades and will be for many more to come.
I think I missed it.
Oh no, I said I am a Jarly and have been
Jarly. Got it.
decades will be
Got it.
for many.
Okay. All right. So
Tony and I are unicorns together.
that's right.
Yes, we're working on building a blessing.
Oh, okay. So there's like a JSAM, or excuse me, a Jarly, right? Jarly altar there with like photos of their
Well,
years over the decades with candles lit and affirmations written.
no, nothing like that. Burton made the comment that Jarly fans were so rare that we were like unicorns, and
And we kind of leaned into it a little.
considering the fact that we are a messy bunch, considering we're Spencer fans and Morgan fans, we said, "Bitch, bet." So ever since we've been making the joke that the unicorns are winning or the unicorns are coming and things of that nature. And then we even looked up what a bunch of unicorns in group is, and it's a blessing. So
Oh, a blessing of unicorns. I get it.
I even made us a I even made us a our own version of the bat signal. And if anybody wants to see it, it's on my Twitter page.
Check it out. Check it out. She's got her
Yeah.
Twitter. It's listed down below under 10th floor GH. It's Brooklyn 74. Come on down. Check out
Yep.
the unicorn bat signal,
Yep.
the unicorn signal, the blessing signal,
Yes.
the signal for the
The
Jarly fans
yes.
down there in the Brooklyn
Blessing
GH.
assemble. Yes.
Hey Cheryl, I want to say hello, Cheryl. Shout out to her and Jeannie as well. Welcome to class. We're just hanging out today, you guys. Just chilling. Having a
I see a
Forky.
lot of, I can't see who all is in the chat because they're lurking because only a few people have said hi. Who else is in there, Matt? Can you see?
I don't have a list of who's watching. I can only respond to people who
Oh.
have chatted, which is why
Kelly, you hurt my heart.
the liaison lover. says Kelly.
Oh,
I
Kelly, I
see.
thought we could have been something.
See, you guys still can be something, because we can't let these things tear down or build walls. We have to let these things tear down our walls. We have to allow our equal love for Jason Bing and romances that we enjoyed to bond us as fans, not separate
Oh,
us.
yet
yeah.
again, you sweet, sweet summer child.
No. Because here's the thing. A couple of weeks ago, I was on James Lott Jr. Zoom, okay? And we were talking about soaps, and he was being his shady self, which we all love. It's so fun. But he was not seeing the future. He was not seeing any sort of growth, any sort of progress. He only saw diminishing light of soaps for the future. And here we are with a brand new one about to debut.
Absolutely.
So
Well, not
when you're
about to
like, oh, you
debut, but
sweet
coming down the
summer
pipe.
child,
Yes.
don't sweet summer child me when I was right a couple of weeks ago about soaps not being as dead as everyone else thought they were.
I have been saying, screaming that from the rooftops. I've been telling people to stop jumping off the bridge about those Nielsen ratings for like 2 years now. And nobody believes me. So you're not the only one at that rodeo, sweetheart. So.
Speaking of, more the war for Morgan's organ, I have to say that, battle lines are often drawn, but I'm of the mindset that whoever finishes last finishes best. And since I'm getting my end game, I can be compassionate to those who aren't insane. So if you're a liaison lover, but you're not out of your mind, then you're welcome in my side of town. I will love on you, because you're gonna need all the compassion you can get because you're not getting your ship, and I am. So that's just kind of that breakdowns.
And now we see why, how much I love Terry and Tony, and why we're so. I was thinking Terry from our not another unicorn. Sorry, Tony. I saw she posted to
We just can't remember
the.
Terry, Tammy, Tony. What's the name?
I know her name. Believe me, I scream it out nightly.
Ooh. That sounds sexy, everybody.
Private
That
conversations.
sounded so sexy.
Yeah, I joke, but I, Kelly, I still love you. But, as I've said a million times, I hope this doesn't hurt us on YouTube, and you can bleep it out if it does.
Oh, I wish there was a double
Ain't
button.
no dick war like a Jason dick war.
Oh, we're not monetized yet, go nuts.
And that has been the case for
time immemorial.
He is so skilled.
Since he woke up,
He's so
since
skilled that not only
the Jason Dick Wars started May 6th, 1996.
he is so skilled that the fans felt how great it was and wanted more. He rocked their favorite's world so deeply that the fans still want it today.
And honestly, as toxic as some of it can be, and it can be pretty toxic,
It can also be incredibly hilarious.
any passionate engagement is a plot positive.
Absolutely.
Kelly. Oh, okay. She said, I just saw the last one. Okay. Yeah, I mean, their scenes on Friday. Let me tell you.
Hey, Mama.
The oh, hi, Mama Cat.
Mommy,
We
Tony. This is Tony. Hi, Tony. This is my mom, and she's in the chat now. Say hi.
hello. I hope it's okay that I'm standing in for you. Love you.
You're even in her position in the
Right?
row.
I'm just trying to keep it warm for you.
Yes.
We're just hanging out, Ma. We're unstructured this morning. Totally unstructured. Just feeling like we whatever we want to talk about with Angela and Tony.
Mama, he didn't watch Days this week, so we're having a free period.
That's, gosh, what a tattler. My
Yeah.
goodness. I watched
Wow,
some.
right
I know
through
that
him,
Leo was in a
right under the bus.
costume. I know that Holly woke up.
I was trying to bring that up earlier, but we ended up switching the conversation.
Welcome to the 10th floor. This is what happens here is we'll talk about something for about four sentences. That'll break off into something else. We'll complete that conversation and loop back around to the original point. It's a roller coaster.
Did somebody mention ADHD?
Yeah. It has everything to do with the fact that I don't really have like chapter markers. I just have a pen and a post-it note. And I pretend like I'm doing something the entire show.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sandra says that bottom line soaps are a great genre and we just need to roll with whatever's happening. And I like that sentiment. I'm with you, Sandra.
Look at you being all like logical and reasonable. Are you sure you watch soap?
For me, you know, yeah, you criticize, be unhappy, you know, think like what you like, have a favorite, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But my God, can we let the fire and brimstone just go away for a little while?
Here's my thing. I love the passion, you know, that we bring to soaps. You know, they are genuinely like kind of a part of our family to a degree. And I love that for us. I love that we're still passionate and we're still viable and we don't let the soap genre die. I just wish some of that passion could be turned into like fanfic more, or like humor and comedy more.
I agree.
I'm one of those people who like, I don't need to necessarily agree with you in order to chill with you. And I have a lot of mutuals who are hilarious and not remotely the same as me. Like I have so many Liz fan friends. I've got Robin fan friends. I'm like, which as a Carly fan is almost unspeakable. But like they're hilarious and I'm like, you know what, you got me that time. Yep, that was hilarious. Let's do this. Exactly. And we all agree to disagree, Kelly.
Yeah,
right. I mean, we all love what we love and we're passionate about it and that's fine. And I mean, I don't like those couples, but I have no problem with other people liking those couples. The problem I have,
inaccuracies.
Well, yes. I mean, I don't care if people hate Carly or people hate Jarly. Hate away. Whatever. There are things I love to hate, too. My issue is that, okay, I'm going to turn off my camera for 1 second because my daughter is doing one of her famous, I'm going to come take a shower at your house things, and she has to walk behind me. She comes in her towel and says, I'm going to use your shower.
Oh, no.
She lives in the apartment next door, and she has 5 roommates, and they only have 1 bathroom. So she likes to come home and shower.
Okay. Anyway. Like, so what? Are we going to...
So what I was saying... And this is going to get into what I was going to talk about, what I wanted to rant about.
She asked for a soapbox this morning, everybody, and I was like, I ain't doing nothing. I ain't doing nothing. You can have it. Go ahead.
So, the bashing of other fans for what they like is bullshit. I don't care if people hate Carly. I don't care if people hate Charlie. I only tend to lend my voice to those conversations when bullshit is being spouted. If you hate something, okay, but you should be able to hate it honestly. You know, about actual things that happened or did not happen. But the soapbox I really wanted to go on to. Everyone knows General Hospital, especially, is an unbalanced soap, airtime wise. This has been the case since pretty much the year 2000. I think that was really when it's a fact of life with General Hospital.
Yes.
I'm fine if they wanted to stop doing that and balance it out.
Wow.
But as long as it's not going to be balanced, of course I want my girl to be a beneficiary of it. And until I see some of these fans complaining about Laura Wright, showing me the complaint they posted, because the internet never forgets, and we've all been around a long time. Show me in 2006, 2007, 2008, when you were calling for your girl's airtime to be cut.
Amen.
If you weren't, shut up. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that I should be calling for Laura Wright's airtime to be cut because you don't think it's fair. Because, you know, the Sam fans, the Liz fans also all had massive amounts of airtime when they were paired with Jason. The thing that a lot of people, I guess, don't get, Carly's airtime is not linked to her pairing. Sonny's airtime is not linked to his pairing. Jason's airtime is not linked to his pairing. They all have airtime. Other people's airtimes fluctuate when they're paired with Carly, Jason, or Sonny. And usually the number four is whoever is paired with Jason, even if Carly and Sonny are other people. But Carly, my sister, oh, the cat came in.
Poodles, get out of here. Glimpse into the world of Angela. She can't even finish a soapbox without being interrupted by the cat.
Hold on, I'll be right.
Oh, goodness. You know, I get that.
I think I can somewhat carry on that, but yeah. Like, it is true. The top three have generally been, as it's known on soap Twitter, the Unholy Trinity and or the Unholy Trio. And the fourth in that quad is always whoever is currently winning the war for Morgan's organ. Hashtag Morgan's organ. And so it's completely unreasonable if you've ever been in that slot to then be mad at other people who are now in that slot or who, you know, the show has already shown you is your lead. Or pick one lead and not the others. Like, this is a female-dominated viewership, but you only complain about a female character getting the most airtime when you've got men who are outstripping her easily female dominated viewership. And I'm like, excuse you? I mean, shouldn't the complaint be that, you know, there should be more women up there with her instead of her?
No,
I mean,
instead.
That would be my argument personally.
We all know that women hate women, okay? Isn't that just a fact of reality?
Excuse you? You are speaking to a bisexual woman here. I don't hate. I am a God-fearing.
There was all of two women in the entire galaxy in the original Star Wars because they just didn't get along, right? Isn't that how that went?
No, I am a card character.
Okay, Tony, you have to just ignore him. He's being his ridiculous self and trying to start a fire he doesn't even believe in and won't keep himself warm by. He's literally being a smartass.
Serious opinions make me uncomfortable, and so I have to lighten them up.
I have to defend my misandry, thank you. All men are the problem. Consistent.
That's true.
Men are the problem when women hate each other. I think we've discovered the truth here. On
men are the problem. Men, basically. And they always men. They always freaking men.
They do.
Men do men. Men, even when, even gay men, and it's just awful.
Right? It's like, sir, you're at least gay. You can't, like, give up the men part for, like, 5 minutes.
Nope.
What are you doing?
No, I'm still a man.
Rude.
Another thing I wanted to say real quick in my point that I was making is that I see a lot of people saying, oh, Laura stole this female's airtime. Laura stole that female's airtime. No, she didn't. Laura's airtime has remained, the actor who plays Carly's airtime has remained pretty consistent for 20 years. Her airtime has no effect on the other ones who fluctuate up and down.
You know what the silliest part about this entire thing is? You know what the goofiest part is? Bye, Anna. Thanks for hanging out with us.
I
need to figure the thing out because Finola just dips. That's just who she is.
Well, she's as sick of your shit as the rest of them.
She's like, I hate women too. And so she left.
I was going to say, it's mostly men that stay up there and your grandma.
Well, my granny's up there with a nail. Everybody else is up there by tape. Anyway, the silliest part about this is I didn't even know all of this, you know, nonsense was going on between the fandom until I started doing the podcast and still until I started going on to soap social medias. Because before then, I didn't think about any of this stuff, nor did it really occur to me. It didn't matter to me. I wasn't thinking about anybody's guarantees. I wasn't like, oh, this guy's on too many episodes per month. I might feel, oh gosh, I'm a little tired of this character. But when it comes to like the granular exploration of deals and how many minutes do they have on time and what are they getting in comparison to somebody else, you totally miss that if you're not involved in it. And that's just, for me, the silliest part, because it brings out real passion. I felt it. You all clearly feel it. We've all had our experiences online where it brings out, I don't know, emotions that you wish weren't boiling up to the surface in the moment. But it's also entirely something that doesn't have to happen in your life if you just don't go there. And it's just the goofiest thing.
Oh, no, I have to go there. It's a literal profession now, so I'm there.
Well, I've got a
really great apartment with a great view of all of the nonsense. And, you know, I'm just waiting for the moment when the business takes off and pays for itself.
Of course. That's what we all want. Just that passive income that pays for everything.
And Catherine, you're right. It is the Carly Show. You shouldn't be mad about it. I love that for you. I love that for us. Your taste is impeccable, ma'am.
Well, that's Mama Cat, so of course, your taste is amazing.
It's just, I just wish people would be honest that when they're calling for Carly or Laura Wright fans to ask for their fave to be cut, here's the thing. I'm fine if they want to make it a more of an ensemble. Soaps should be. But if it's not going to be, of course I want my fave to get the most focus. Who wouldn't?
Here's the thing about ensemble. Ensemble doesn't mean I'm getting 15% of the whole show shared with everybody else's 15%. I'm going to make a nerdy reference because that's the thing that I do. Star Trek, The Next Generation, very popular, very accessible. Many people have seen it. That's an ensemble cast. That's an ensemble show. But I'll tell you, Captain Picard saved the ship way more times than Dr. Crusher.
A hell of a lot more times.
Factual statement made.
That doesn't mean that Dr. Crusher wasn't important. Doesn't mean that she wasn't essential. Right. Doesn't mean that she didn't finish the cast and round out the stories that they were telling. But when it came to the ensemble, she was a lead, but not the lead.
Yeah. Geordi LaForge was on an ensemble.
Oh, absolutely. He was right there in the middle, you know? He saved the ship sometimes.
Never saw the kind of, like, the type of airtime that Jean-Luc Picard did.
No, Picard had romances, he had family, he had all sorts of stuff. Geordi failed at love, didn't grow, became the engineer, was blind. Like, that was his thing.
Never saw.
So I mean, that for me, that's an ensemble that is very accessible to me because I've seen it all. And one that I understand pretty well when it comes to just the impact the character is meant to have on the story. Not the impact the character could have on the story. Right. Not the power that the actor might have that they're not having access to bring to. But just when it comes down to it, the character that you play is doing this thing. And that's what they're there for.
Right. I have another little soapbox I want to jump on just for a second about ensemble show.
He is married to number one. Cheryl, you're right. That's why I like to make those Next Generation connections as well. Jeannie Francis and Jonathan Frakes.
Yep. And I saw them last summer at a con that I went for and covered for the press, and they were just adorable together. They really were.
I bet.
Even though there is a disparity in airtime, soaps are still an ensemble show, which is why it cracks me up, especially from people who are crying for there to be more balance, that so-and-so is in someone else's story. On an ensemble show, isn't it everybody's story?
It's everybody's story, and these people are in this corner of it.
And I mean, but you know what I'm saying is that, you know, on a soap, you know, they're set in these towns. And the family, that's interwoven, and the people interact with each other. So theoretically, nobody should not have a part big or small in any story.
Well, that's how you're putting Carly in everybody's story, and I'm not going to sit here for
okay,
that.
Okay, I will fly to LA and punch you in the throat. Carly is not in everyone's story.
You keep
and
saying
this is a hill I will die on.
You keep saying wrong. Well, the thing about it is, Sonny is in everyone's story.
Oh,
Sonny,
I
literally managed to put him in Charlotte's shooting story at one point.
Oh,
at, like
Cat Daddy's medication story.
I know, I witnessed it. Who's in too many like, stories on Days? I don't know. It's pretty balanced correctly. On Days, isn't it?
Days is very balanced. Nobody gets more than 100 episodes a year. Maybe Drake or Marlena. Maybe we'll go
like,
to.
I feel like Marlena is just at the top 100. Of their guarantees. I really feel like.
Well, why shouldn't she be?
Deidre Hall is just the top,
right.
top dog.
But even Deidre Hall doesn't get.
Are we sure? Because I'm pretty sure she has therapized the entire town.
Pretty much if somebody stubs their toe and feels bad about it, they visit Marlena.
Agreed. Listen, and I mean, why
Doc?
Wouldn't you? I mean, if I could just hear to her.
Doc is mother to us all.
You know, they're being a mother to Salem again, Dak. It's a poor Dirty Harry is what it is to me. You know, today.
Please. Every day and twice on Sunday, you would take Drake.
I would take him where?
Anywhere you could have him. You love that man.
No, I don't really bone him, though. I just want to hang out.
Don't you, though?
Not really. I have a very...
See, what's really funny is I never wanted to until I saw him at the Emmys.
Really?
And it kind of started a slow burn at Day of Days because I shared, like, just a moment with him.
Yeah.
And,
Because it's that magnetic synergy. Nobody can resist yourself some Drake Hogeston.
And then at the Emmys, he just kind of...
He's got a twinkle that just makes you think thoughts.
He's super charming.
I'm sorry. When that man winks at you, time stops. It just does. It is you. It's like those. It's like one of those movies, and it's just you and him. And oh my God. And this is insane to me because I was never. I mean, I didn't have a problem with him, but I was never a massive. Oh, he's my guy. Never my thing, but
I don't know if I've just got like a narrow sliver of what I find to be like doable and I also want to like not disparage somebody that I'm not interested in sleeping. It's not like I'm saying Drake Hogeston is an ugly offensive man who makes me want to vomit, but he doesn't inspire those feelings, much like 99% of this planet doesn't inspire those feelings for me. So much so, I don't understand how people can have an affair. I don't understand how people can have, I don't understand polyamory. I don't understand how that works. You know, open relationships, that sort of thing. I have enough attention for a person, and that is it. And I find that to be, in my life experience, to be fairly unique. But that's pretty much how it works for me.
Sounds like you're a demisexual.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
A demisexual is someone who is kind of a one-person. You can be attracted, like full-fledged attracted, to one person at a time, ever.
That's pretty much how it's been then, yeah.
So I'm looking at the Days of Our Lives. Oh, sorry.
Lower on the level where I can be attracted to other people, but I can't be whole hog attracted to more than one person at a time.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, I'm sorry for everybody else because I have Tony's total attention.
Oh, Jeannie says, this is how I feel about Galen and Eric going to events for years and years. She's fallen in love with them more and more as the time has gone on, the more she's experienced.
She just
them in
can't
person.
Quit them. She just can't quit them.
I mean, those
them.
Are two, those are good actors to pick, though. I mean, if you're talking about handsome people on the cast, Galen and Eric are kind of at the top of that list.
All right, be prepared for me to blow your mind. I have Days' episode counts for year ending 2023.
All right, ready.
Deidre Hall is at number 5.
Wow. Who's number one, Sloan?
With 89 episodes.
I bet it's Sloan. Sloan's number one.
Not Sloan. Sloan is number 6. Number 1 was actually Dan, EJ.
That makes
and he's
sense.
only had 105.
Yeah, EJ's been all over, or at least he was when I first started
and
watching.
Nicole, Ariana, and Ari has 101 as Nicole. Greg at 99, Brandon Barash at 90, Deirdre is 89.
That makes sense.
See where...
These were the major players of the show that we've been watching.
Yeah. But I mean, the number one on Days of Our Lives is 105.
That's not as many as 186.
Greg only had 50.
That's not even half the year.
Greg only had 50.
50 for the whole year?
And there were
year?
260 episodes.
My God.
But that's Days. They don't, nobody.
Did, was there any there specials on no, last year? Like a holiday or
no.
Beyond? No? Then yeah, I don't know, man. That's
but
that's,
even yeah. as I mean, Deirdre Hall, you know, even on with the you know Body and Soul episodes,
right.
she had a couple of those. Marlena was only on episode 87 episodes. Mm-hmm. She was on as Charlemagne de la Crosse for two episodes.
I love that though.
Yes, I do too, and I'm I still want the spinoff.
Like, just do it. Just do a Beyond Salem, but have it be uh-huh. that soap within a soap. Where all of the actors are playing different characters. I, listen, we talked about it before. If there was a new soap to debut, which there is, called The Gates, we said that it should be set in the 80s, which was just the highlight of just soap looks and glamour and ridiculous, you know, shoulder pieces and gaudy jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
we're not getting that with The Gates. But we could get that with this spinoff that you're pitching, Angela. And so what I'm going to need you to do is write a 3 to 5 page synopsis. and submit up to three episodes.
I think you're forgetting who the professor is.
Well, I mean, this is your project, and you got to show us how it's done. We're going to learn from you. Kelly loves Brandon Barash, and Kelly has never shied away from how much she loves Brandon Barash, even from GH days.
I was a huge Johnny Zakara fan. The mustache has to go. I'm counting the days. I can't wait till that.
You're going to count a while. It's going to be on for months.
I know.
He's a wonderful guy, though. Let's see. Do I have any soapboxes to stand on? Be kind to each other, everybody. Let each other love what they love. When somebody highlights why something else is important, it doesn't mean that the original thing wasn't important too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's key. You know, saying, oh, well, you know, I like this doesn't translate to I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think mm-hmm. that's important to remember. I mean, for the most part, yeah. I think for most people, that's what it means. I can't say for all people, but for most people, because just the other day I went on and I just reminded people why the Robin story was very important.
Mm-hmm.
The time.
And you caught a lot of heat for it, but you weren't wrong.
Listen, I caught heat on God heat. It's not heat to me. These people don't even watch the show. I don't care. Like, that's what it boils down to. If they watch the show, I'd care a little bit more, but they don't. If they watched the show, they wouldn't reply like that.
No, they might.
Yeah.
Or agreed. Hate watch it.
I mean, I understand when you're being a smartass.
Well, I wasn't being a smartass there. Like, it was genuine.
I know,
like,
but
day,
I'm saying, you know.
That day, I'd seen a lot of questions. Like, the conversation on Twitter in a little corner was, mm-hmm. hey, how come Trina isn't getting the same amount of airtime as Robin got when Stone died?
And you're not wrong that it was different storylines. And it was an entirely different setup.
I'm not even saying a better example. I'm talking like culture of America.
And I understand that, but I'm just saying it was comparing it to Robin isn't a good example. I think the better comparison is Liz
mm-hmm.
when Lucky died.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody thinks back, most of the focus went to Lucky's parents. Liz had stuff, but not much. And, mm-hmm. you know, Lucky died in April. And we didn't see Liz tons until she was spiraling in August and Jason had to save her at Jake's.
Oh, see, look at that. The beginning of the whole liaison situation.
Don't even say it. No, he was in love with Carly.
That was back when he was in love with Carly and still saw her as his little sister's best friend.
And he felt guilty about Lucky's death. Right.
He was not.
It was a stepping stone then.
Like, it might have, you can say that built
trust.
Their friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust.
But their friendship
intimacy.
over the years has been, you know, what it's been. And I'm not, there's nice liaison fans in the audience here. So I'm not going to disparage them the way that I could. It's, I'm just going to say at that time, it built their friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to leave it at that.
Bye, I have Angela. To.
No, I'm still here. I just, oh, I heard, are you coming down the stairs?
Myself.
Okay, I heard the, you know, towel girl. I had to lock the door.
Kelly wishes that Brandon would meet a razor. So, you know, we'll get there. Yeah. We'll definitely get there. We'll get there. Sandra agrees too.
Yeah.
Thumbs down on the mustache. So no go, Brandon, with the stash. I know you were trying something new, trying something different, trying to, I don't know. Was it
Ooh,
just...
Maybe one of his first scenes with new Gabby will be her coming home and them having a sexy she shaves it off for him scene.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, like with like Sin, where they had their shower scene after. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that was
or hot. Journey had one too.
Oh, they did, didn't they?
Yep.
Oh,
I think it's time to bring back sexy shower scenes.
Yeah,
I approve.
And I mean, Days already has the best sexy shower scenes there are.
Yeah, because giving me all
on
of
GH, the- you really just get shower scenes with just men shower, which I'm not against.
Here's the problem with that. The problem is they don't even attempt to take it into an area where it would be interesting for them to be in the shower. Like, why would you put them in the shower and then I only get a headshot of it? Like, what are you doing? What is the point of that? Why would you? And then right. Go away. Go away.
Although I will say, I'm on record, I'm not a Liz fan. The scene where Finn was in the shower and she went in fully clothed and was kissing on that, I thought that was hot.
Well, hey, there you go.
For them.
There you go.
I thought that was, you know, the sexiest shower scene General Hospital has had in a long time.
Kelly wants a clean love in the afternoon. And I guess doing it in the shower keeps everybody clean.
Yes.
Boom. You know,
that is
true. I don't know. What towed the line? You know, we got Valentine going to the downtown dining and entertainment district with Anna. That caused a splash in reaction. Let's see, there was Alex's three-way on Days, right? Beyond Salem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that caused
a
splash.
That was actually pretty fun.
Let's see, Julian and Alexis and their 50 Shades of Grey romance. Caught a lot of attention.
If we want to.
I'm sorry?
We can call it romance if we want to. I'd call it stressful.
those things towed the line when it comes to the sensibilities of some of the audience members out there. So I'm not sure what Kelly's looking for. What's clean to you, Kelly?
Simple things like, you know, ripping a condom with your teeth. I mean, there's something that's so wholesome about that for me.
Just a reminder that it's there too. It's good.
You know, safe sex is important.
Especially in soaps because people are very potent on soaps.
You heard?
I think Ma and I were trying to like list the babies on General Hospital the other week, and we forgot like three or four of them.
They forgot three or four of them. It's fine.
Because like, oh man, look.
But
at
I mean,
like,
it's important that they're fruitful and multiply for the next generation.
Oh, super.
So
important.
Part of me is not upset about it, but the other part of me is like, okay, sometimes y'all give two young babies, like, but we're not going to go, that's not my soapbox that I'm getting on. My soapbox is in regards to soaps in general, or a new soap that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I had a little hiccup that was threatening to come, and... mine is about CBS working with NAACP to give us the gays.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the description, it is an affluent Black family who lives in a gated community and all the mess that ensues in connection with that. And I just want to say, I'm here for it. I want it to be messy. I want it to be beautiful. I want it to be well lit because General Hospital is still stressing me out with the lighting. Oh my God. And Bold and the Beautiful usually gets the lighting really, really right. I want all of the pretty black melanated skin to just be everywhere. I just want people slapping each other, and I want people hugging each other, and I want romance and mess and drama and stress, and I want it all. Give me.
I hope the network allows you to have what you want. And I really sincerely feel as though that is probably the greatest hurdle that all of these soaps are facing now, is what the networks deems appropriate for their channel. And even things like I don't know, man, it's tough because I'm not an expert. I've just been alive, you know, but in my observations through my life, how we approach and what we're able to see on TV has changed a lot. A lot. And some of it's good and some of it's great and some of it's wonderful. And some of it has brought wonderful diversity that didn't exist and new chances for groups of people that deserve it, that didn't have it before. But also at the same time, it comes to things like in pro wrestling, you can no longer have a man body slam a woman because it's going to make too many people upset. And when it comes down to it, I think things like that, things of that mentality sprinkle into things, and the network gets in the way of something that could be really exciting over the fear of upsetting somebody who might be too loud about it. In that same vein, you know.
That's fair.
You know, like cheating, assault. I'm not even like, not SA, but like other types of assault. Coercing somebody to fall in love with you. That sort of stuff is now difficult to sell as just a fantasy story that doesn't matter, because people take it more to heart more often, as probably they should. You know, it's hard for me to say whether they should or shouldn't. But I think a lot of that stuff is very real. And I don't know, I want to see some progress in it. And I would like the Gates to absolutely break new ground and start new trends and get passion on the right side of things rather than the fight side of things.
I don't have a problem with a little fight. I'm a wrestling fan, so, you know, they can body slam me a little bit. It's fine. I'm not going
to
do that.
This is why I wanted you two to meet as well. Matt is also a...
Well, I was... I
figured that from, like, the wrestling reference. It was impeccable, by the way. But, yeah, no, I don't mind being roughed up a little bit. I still feel like there should be some lines... I feel like it's how you do things more than if you do things. There are a lot of shows that have big consent issues as far as when they're writing certain storylines. And my thing is, you can still write the storyline, and there are ways to do it that are not going to stress people out and trigger people. Like with Bold and the Beautiful as an example, a recent example of consent issues, because no, let's be clear. Ron Carlovati in his writing has major consent issues at times as well. So let's not say I'm just saying one person, but recently they have a story in which the girl took her mama's magic mints instead of the mints that she thought she was taking.
Yeah, this is an situation, right?
Yes, and end up sleeping with her man's cousin. And then, you know, when she wakes up, she's traumatized, and of course it's not necessarily his fault because she never said the name of the person she thought she was with, and so he thought that it was like legitimate and that she wanted him and that she finally accepted that she wanted him or whatever. But now that it's all over, they're fighting to make her keep the secret, and somehow the reason for keeping the secret has nothing to do with her and everything to do with protecting the Forrester family and Zenday and RJ's relationship, which was already in tatters before this happened. And I'm like, you basically just had this girl assaulted so that she could care, like this Asian girl assaulted by accident so that she could protect the relationship between two wealthy men, one of whom's like a wealthy white guy. The other's a wealthy black guy who is now being kind of framed as the bad guy in the situation. Like, you don't care about optics, dude. There's optics we could be worried about.
This is why diversity in the writer's room is important, everybody.
Yeah.
You need somebody to say, I think you need to think about these other aspects before we move on. Mm-hmm. Even if they say, shut up, we're going to do this anyway, it's important to have that voice in the room.
Yeah. So it would, I mean, this story could be fixed very simply. Send Luna to therapy. At least consider how this is affecting her.
Wait a minute. Is this you trying to backdoor Taylor coming back? Just kidding.
Yes, that's exactly.
I mean, if we want to go that route, kidding. I'm not.
I love Taylor. I love Taylor. It was a joke. I love Taylor.
Wait.
It was just funny. Who cares? Because she's a world-renowned therapist.
Look. Let's be clear. I'm not complaining about your idea. I was actually encouraging it. Not too much on me. Look, I see the forest and the trees. Ooh, so I'm not worried about what you were intending to do. I'm worried about how that's going to affect me. And that would affect me very happily. So if that's how we get her back, that's how we get her back. I don't care.
I don't even know who this person is.
I'm aware.
You don't watch Bold and the Beautiful.
No, I know that. I know that Zach from All My Children's on it. That's about it.
Letting her get her, you know, therapy in, letting her process her emotions, letting her actually, you know, work through things, and then figuring out whether or not she wants to be as honest as she is, or if this relationship is worth honesty for her or what have you, and not letting them make it about this rich, wealthy family that she's connected to and whether or not her truth will hurt them. Like, I'm very, very frustrated with a lot of the decisions being made with this consent problematic story. And this is like par for the course on a lot of soaps where they just don't seem to have any comprehension of one, consent, and two, how to tell a consent story that is not going to trigger innumerable sexual assault victims.
That's why General Hospital is so smart. They just avoid it entirely. We're just not going to do that.
Not historically.
Well, not historically, but definitely in the last decade, we haven't touched any of that stuff. I mean, I don't know. Was Franco and Michael in 2014? I mean, I could be wrong. Let me allow myself to be wrong here. But I would say that GH at least has an approach to similar story in foreverdom, almost. I mean, not, at least in the time that I can recall.
Well, when was Danny
Shiloh
conceived?
I guess would be the last with the drugged cups.
Yeah, Shiloh was the last. That was within the last 10 years, and he was having his sex cult for the initiation.
How do you think was that one done sensitively?
There was no gray area with that.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
So was that one done with sensitivity?
There was no gray area with Danny either. It was Franco was the bad guy.
Yeah. I do appreciate that when they do it, they make it clear that, you know, these are non-consenting people and this guy's a full trash bag.
This is not okay.
I would love them to do one with a girl. I was hoping they were going to do that with Esme.
They didn't know what they were doing with Esme, and that was the biggest issue.
That she could have done something insane like that. But they didn't. They just had her be an off the wall bad guy in other ways. It's fine.
Yeah, it was fine. She suffered.
But I feel like it would be interesting to have that story told by someone who's willing to actually make someone who violates someone's consent the bad guy. And GH has been consistent about making people who violate consent the bad guy in stories. So that's one thing. I mean, they've got issues in other areas, but sexual assault is not one of them normally.
Well, I actually will take issue with one part of that. I disagree with one section of that, because while they very clearly painted Franco as the bad guy, while Rick was the bad guy for making Carly think he had raped her, it was disgusting that they had a rape victim not only defend these men, but basically mock their victims.
Yeah.
Liz did it with Sam, and she did it with Carly. On behalf of Franco with Sam, and on behalf of Rick with Carly. And given Liz's history, having been raped, it's disgusting that she was the defender and mocking other victims. That they had a rape victim tell another woman who had been victimized, you can't rape somebody nobody would have to rape you because you'll hop in bed with anybody. Whatever the line was.
I'm so glad we don't have to experience these stories anymore. We have moved on and don't have to do it.
Oh, I said the bad word, didn't I?
Not only did you say the bad word, but boy, oh boy, did you say it a lot of times and said it with growing intensity that we're just going to hop off of right now to go back to things that are far more fun about the shows we love.
Assault. Sorry. But that's where I take issue with GH on those things.
Yeah, I keep forgetting they had her do that. I don't know if it's because I don't like actually pay attention to her stories and scenes that much, or if it's because it bothered me that much that sometimes I block it out of my memory. But you're right. They've definitely misused her in that sense. Like, that's their that's their one blind spot where it comes to sexual assault. And it's skeevy and gross. But yeah.
On a different token entirely, Laura wants to know if Days is going to get edgier since they're on streaming. So far, not so.
I think they already have.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, they're definitely, they use saltier language than they would use on network TV during the day. Love scenes are definitely steamier. I mean, look at, maybe not necessarily a love scene, but the scene, the split screen they did with Eric and Nicole with the fantasy and the shower. That was pretty, that wouldn't have aired on NBC in the daytime.
Okay, that's awesome. There was a, that's awesome.
And again, they were also kind of salty when they were on screen, when they were still like on NBC, because I remember Sin having their shower scene and getting a little bit bubbly with that when they were still on network television. So I think there are some boundaries that they've pushed, but there were some boundaries they were already pushing.
So we're not getting a bunch of side butt and side boob, but...
Well, we actually, I mean, Xander and Chloe's love scene, she had on those... like the lacy boy short underwear that were
quite revealing.
Half her ass were hanging out of.
I don't know.
And got a really good shot of the back of it. And she has a nice butt.
And does.
So, hey, good for them. So, yeah, I guess it's gotten a little bit, I think that still maintaining the identity of a daytime-styled soap was important to them. So they pushed some envelopes where they could. They expanded some reality, I guess you can say, in some areas. But when it came to, like, completely departing from whatever tone or whatever limitations they might have put on themselves prior to, they weren't really interested in surpassing.
That's true, Kelly. They have given the finger quite a few times on Days these days.
Right. Another consideration for them, too, is that, you know, people got to keep in mind. I mean, although all of us might not be in that age demographic, the majority of the average age of soap opera watchers is mid-60s. So they didn't want to, you know... They had to take that into consideration as well.
Elderly about, you know, sensibilities. Not like,
oh my God, you know, they got these people to get Peacock and streaming and stuff like that. They couldn't, you know.
And while they're on there, we're going to push our Peacock stuff.
Exactly.
Peacock has the weakest library, everybody. I'm sorry. Like, Peacock's got Days, and that's like kind of it. And look, if you like Saturday Night Live still, I don't know why. You're crazy. Stop watching that show. Okay, keep watching the show so it stays on, but it's really, like, did you watch last week's Angela with that Allison Sweeney lady?
I have not yet, but it's Saturday Night Live ebbs and flows.
You know, I mean, Weekend Update's consistent, but, I mean, the rest of it really is give or take. I think it really heavily depends on the influence the host is having on the week. It's like, it's like the writers of SNL right now are chicken. You can season them any way you want, and it's going to be great if you do it right. But if you don't do it right, it's just going to be bland.
Or you don't do it at all.
Or you don't do it at all. That's what I'm famous for. Oh boy, let me tell you, Tony.
Oh,
how I'm like.
Or
I
you
will
don't
season.
Season chicken.
No, I season right, and then the advice that I got from the person across the hall was, "All right, Matthew, season it right, and when you think that you've added enough, keep going. When you think you've added too much, keep going.
Keep
still.
Keep going." I love the person.
You know what? I tend to tell people who have difficulty seasoning that what they should do is pick three seasonings and rotate three times.
Okay.
At minimum, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do salt, pepper, and paprika, I need you to shake out that salt. 1, 2, 3. Shake out that pepper. 1, 2, 3. Shake out that paprika. 1, 2, 3. And then rotate. 3 sets. 3 sets of 3. And usually, at least then, it won't be completely bland once you're done with it.
Okay, I'm going to try
with
that.
Me,
I'm
gonna
although try I would, I prefer that you have more seasonings than just three, but, you know.
I'm a salt, pepper, garlic powder, onion powder kind of guy, you know.
That's okay, that we can work with. You know, yes. Okay, so we're
seems four, universal.
3 sets of 4. 3 sets of 4. That should be your rule of thumb.
I got it. I'm going to do that, and I'll let you know how it works.
Okay.
Laura says, salt, pepper, Italian seasoning, and then garlic. Not garlic salt, garlic. We're putting garlic. Lots and lots and lots of garlic.
Laura wants to see Days
the
of Our
main
Lives
ingredient.
Take the responsible route and sit down for the talk. Explain to him the birds and the bees. Tell him that it's important to avoid drugs, doing it, and having babies.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I think I think it's probably been implied that Tate's already had the talk at his age.
Mm, yeah, he's like junior, high school senior, junior, senior?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
He burned down his old school
or
something?
I mean, honestly, it's almost time for Thomas to get the talk.
Oh, but he's like 10. Oh, is that the time? I don't know. I've never raised a kid. When is the time? I don't
Nowadays,
know
you have to do it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Because these kids are frisky puppies.
Yeah.
The internet, man.
And they start to explore and learn stuff with or without you at a certain age. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 10 would not be a bad age to start the education process.
Exactly. I mean, you don't have to, you know, tell everything. There's no such thing as just having the talk anymore.
I think I pretty much like, did. I was never sat down for the talk because like my questions had always just been answered growing up, you know, like there was no like, okay, big revelation of, hey, well, storks aren't real and this is how it really works. Like I knew what kissing was. I knew what the next level was. And I knew that mm-hmm. next level would create a baby. Like I knew that stuff as a kid, but it wasn't. Mm. I don't know. So I don't know. I guess that's that disconnect between the adult mind and the child mind, because I knew all these facts and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't have any feelings about it. I didn't have any tingles learning this stuff because I wasn't there in my maturity, you know? So
fair enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
My
for
mother
me to know
gave
these
me
things.
The talk, and my stepfather gave my brothers the talk, and my God, they were two totally different talks. I think my ex-stepfather takes an award for the worst talk ever given to a group of boys.
Okay.
That sounds terrifying.
Trying to liken
it
to a soap character.
One sentence.
Is it reminiscent of my grandfather's just keep your pecker in your pants until you're married?
No. I wish. Don't what you wouldn't eat.
Mm, gross.
End of talk.
Yeah. Wonderful.
On another note, I would like to say, ew.
Right?
Kelly, right? That is the cutest question, though.
It was so many years ago, and I'm still baffled.
Oh, goodness gracious.
When
will Holly find out that Eric killed her dad? Oh, my God. Eric killed Holly's dad?
Drunk driving.
Oh, that's why he stopped drinking. And that's why he loves Holly.
I would be surprised if Holly grew up knowing that, because it's not a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. It was one of the best things Eric ever did in the history of his character. And I wish him well on that. Killed that someone
by drunk driving. Tony, I love you.
Look, by any means necessary, because if we want to talk about a show hog that didn't need to be hogging anything,
it was Holly's
ever.
Dad.
100%. It was he who shall not be named.
Who has he been recast as?
He who shall not be named.
Oh, see, that makes
needed
it hard for
a one way ticket off the show.
Makes it
And
hard for
once he
me
got
when you're
it,
not naming somebody I know.
he exalted this moment. It was, it reminds me of how excited we were during the a certain Twitter party that happened after a certain seasoning died on Young and the Restless.
I don't know. Does anybody beat?
No, the seasoning was the winner. The seasoning was the winner. However, comma, this was a close second to the adulation and excitement of that moment.
Okay. Were you around for the death of who? On GH?
Just use their names. My goodness gracious.
Oh, that's what we called her. Yeah. Courtney. She was so insignificant that people said who when talking about her. And her death was a unifying event for the fandom.
Yeah, there were not many of her fans left by the time that she was removed from the cast. And that was
Kelly.
So that was very much a happy making thing. They were very happy about the goodbye of that all. I felt bad. Because, like, I didn't hate her character, you know, but, you know, I was in the minority, so I let them
enjoy. I didn't
enjoy
hate her, but it was like, who? Yeah, she wasn't.
I've got Kelly's answer.
I thought you were referring to Pumpkin Eater for a second there.
Kelly's curious about
Holly. Parking lot, Peter?
PLP.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. You guys in your code, just use the real names. You're confusing each other.
Okay, okay. I'm not
fun.
Okay. Who is Courtney Matthews from General Hospital? The seasoning was Sage from Young and the Restless. Sage's Dead Party. He who shall not be named shall not be named. Because I do not want to accidentally conjure him up, but he is from Days, and he was Holly's father.
Daniel.
The pumpkin eater was Peter.
On General Hospital.
Parking lot Pete.
Also called parking lot Peter.
Y'all are going to need a glossary for your podcast when you get started.
yeah, right? Yes. We'll have a primer for our podcast.
Kelly needs
yeah.
a recap. Kelly needs a quick recap. What the heck happened to Holly? Holly was fed drugs by Clyde Weston. I mean, that makes it seem like he, like, spoon-fed her drugs in her mouth. That's not the case. She bought drugs supplied by
him. She took his drugs that he was had on the mean streets
of
Salem.
They were tough Cyrus Renault-level drugs. And it really, really hurt Holly. And Tate discovered her, and it was emotional, and Nicole cried, and she went to a rehab facility overseas, and now she's home, and she woke up. And that's the basic story. But, yeah, she's been out of it for a few months.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I wouldn't say few months because it's only the beginning of March and it was New Year's Eve that she OD'd. So
few
2 months
more than two,
would be more accurate.
Less than seven. Seven several, right?
Yeah. I would say it was 2 months.
Semantics are important
months.
To me.
Because few is three.
Holly
and
bought them
some
from school, says
more.
AAJR.
Several is seven or more, if I remember correctly.
The drugs were hers, not Tate's. Absolutely, they were hers. Tate took the blame to try to cover for Holly because he just likes her so much. And during that same time, too, Brady's like, oh, no, Rafe, those are my drugs. And Rafe was like, come on, Brady. That was a bad lie, man. Like, it was so obvious, dude. Listen, I can take you to jail right now, but it's not going to help anybody. And he's like, fine.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like not enough of John Black's DNA is trickling down that particular pipeline. And he is passing his himbo traits on to his son. And it's a choice. It's a choice. I'm not sure he had a choice that he was able to make, but there should have been someone in there trying to un-himbofy Tate before he got to this point. Because what are you thinking?
We need himbos.
In
himbos are the best part of Days of Our Lives.
Accidentally deliberate in a degree, Kelly. Like Clyde knows that his drugs are real tough. Obviously, he wants people to be addicted but not dead. It's a delicate balance to maintain. So deliberately accidental.
Yeah. Yeah, it's deliberately drugging, accidentally overdosing.
Right. I mean, the drugs were deliberately...
They don't actually want to kill their customers because then they don't keep dying.
Exactly.
They want them hooked.
But he
and
wants,
coming back.
But, you know, he wants his stuff to be high-end, top-dollar, blue quality meth or whatever from Breaking Bad style. But, you know, if you take two pills instead of one, you're going to hurt yourself. And that's what happened to Holly.
Yeah. She took a little too much instead of what was recommended for the party. She probably had that whole edible issue where, you know, people will take an edible and be like, this thing does nothing. Let me take another. And then they end up trying to fly from off of their own roof.
I wish that I had an experience
Emily
like that. But I've never been pushed that hard by that particular type of mind-altering substance. Hollywood high is different than real life high.
That was a GH reference. Yeah. It wasn't actually an edible, but Emily Quartermain tried to fly from her roof when she had too many drugs in her system.
The beauty of soap operas is the fact that they've been on for 60 years. And we've had so much and so many characters do so many things. We've touched on everything. We've told every story there is. We've had every line that could ever be written has been written. And we're doing it again because it's been 60 years, right? I absolutely love it. And I also love the fact that me missing 50 of these 60 years makes it so I get to hear these fun stories about Emily. Mm-hmm. Makes it so I can hear all this stuff from yesteryear and be like, well, that sounds neat, and have it have no bearing on how I enjoy it today because I didn't watch it. I also don't have that thing where, like, I have given 40 years of my life to this show, so it better be flipping good. You know?
Oh, Matt.
What?
My thing about this is, why don't you want better for yourself just because you haven't had as much time here?
Like, because I don't know what better would be.
Better would be not this. Like, I can tell you that without having seen it before. Like, I mean... I know good storytelling because I know good storytelling. And mm-hmm. if the storytelling's not good, then I know that, regardless of how long I've been watching.
I don't have, maybe this will help. My level of expectation for a daytime soap is low.
He's just like, if they air on time, I'm winning. If the show is on.
Do not need incredibly detailed beats of everybody's story.
Start from a place of mediocrity and are like, if it gets better, then yay. But if it doesn't, then that's
not even
worried.
My point. Like, that's your point of view. My point of view is this is fucking fine. You know, like you say that it's a starting point of mediocrity. I see it as a starting point of this is my show. I don't find it to be mediocre. I find it to be my show. You're disappointed. I'm not. I don't have those time to compare it to. I have the future to compare it to. I understand that more fans had more enjoyment in the past, but more fans' enjoyment in the past has no bearing on my enjoyment today because I'm not those people.
That's a fair assessment, I guess. I was mostly teasing with the mediocrity joke, but I guess that didn't land.
Me and my mom take things way too seriously.
He does. For somebody that's such a smart ass, his white male fragility.
Well, here's why. Okay, I've always been fragile. I've always been sensitive. Okay, but I grew up with incredibly sarcastic dad and a sarcastic brother, and it's just been around me. So I think I learned how to give it, but never really learned how to take it.
Which is weird, because you'd think that you'd have learned how to take it.
I know.
But, I know. Okay. We all have our things, I suppose.
But, you know, I get the joke, but I don't find it as like a starting point of mediocrity. I just don't have high expectations. I have high expectations of things that I think more impactful, more important, we'll say. I don't know exactly what the right word to say is.
Okay. You know,
And I'm not saying, oh, because it's a daytime, oh, because it's on 5 days a week. I mean, that has something to do with it in the fact that it's on so flipping much, it's hard to hit the point the way you want to every single time. There's just way too much content for it to be good every week, every story, every year. And so the ebb isn't so bad for me because I enjoy the flow. And on top of that, too, I'm not isolated to just one couple or two couples or three couples or ones that I enjoyed in the past that aren't there now, or a coupling that I liked in the past that are split up but still in the show. I don't have any of that. So I'm able to invest in the entirety of the show. So if something isn't good or if something should be better, say, you have an opinion on Sasha or Trina or Maxie or something like that and wish that there was more that these characters were getting, I'm still cool with General Hospital because I am still invested in the entire hour.
I started our conversation today saying how good everything was. The
Agreed.
improvements I've already seen.
Okay.
Like, I'm enjoying the entire show. I mean, of course, I went nuts over what they gave me for Jason and Carly, but I'm enjoying last week, as I was saying, like the last 2 weeks of General Hospital has been the best it's been for me in
That's awesome.
many years.
That's awesome. But while people, well, I'm not you specifically, you two specifically, because I don't know exactly what specifically of the last couple of months or years you enjoyed or didn't enjoy. But from my observations of people online and the reactions they take, like people were very unhappy with Elizabeth and Finn pairing up, which spilled into their opinions on Violet, which spilled into their opinion on Chase, which spilled into their opinion on Gregory, which spills into their opinion on Tracy. And so there's a whole mess of the show that they just aren't being ready to even expose themselves to from a mediocre standpoint, rather than one of hate from the very beginning, for them to find elements to enjoy amongst what they are not enjoying. And I'm not saying that's what you two did or are doing. I'm just saying in general, that's something that I've seen that I think gets in the way
That's a
of a lot
fair
of people.
point. That's a fair point because there are very many people who are incredibly tribalistic in their watching, and that can be dangerous to the show as a whole. But I feel like when the show as a whole is more solid, it's easier to break them of that
There's no doubt.
tribalistic habit.
There's no doubt.
So
Thank you,
I
Kelly.
do I am happier that when things are going well as far as the storytelling. For instance, for me, I really, really enjoy where it's going right now. Like in the last few weeks, they have made the Chase men, the men of the Chase family, more real and more engaging than they've been their entire time on the show. Like the relationship
We talked
between
about
Finn
that
and
on our
Chase, yeah, on our podcast. We talked about it on our month end GH podcast, but the conversation between Finn and Chase, they felt like brothers for a change. Like they've been feeling like brothers, like they know they've known each other their whole lives, and they know when to poke at each other and how to
But
be
they
sarcastic.
don't.
And in the last few weeks, they have though.
But no, but I mean, Finn left. They don't know each other like brothers. They don't know where to poke.
No, but they've had a relationship for a long enough time now that they do.
But
And
the
this
thing
is
is,
one of
even
those
before that,
beats.
didn't he have a relationship with him at first and then left?
Yeah, I mean, I guess
If
if
I
you count
remember.
when he's 10, if that
Yeah,
still
so they
matters
had
today.
something of a connection, then they separated and now they've reconnected, and in that reconnection, they've re-engaged that energy with each other. And so it was very big brother, little brother
I'm glad that you
poking
like
at
the
him.
improvement.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
also they reconnected Finn and Gregory in a way that makes them feel like father and son. And Chase is the dunce youngest brother who I just want to smack on the back of the head on a regular basis now. But it works. It works. They feel like a family. Liz and Finn feel like a family more. Like I giggled when she was telling him about Violet's wedding invitation. That was adorable. I'm not a Liz fan. Normally, when Liz does stuff, it's like, oh, that's nice. You had a life and an experience with the world. I can give it or take it or forget it or ignore it. But that was adorable. I thought that was hilarious. She was so like, she was having so much fun torturing him about it. It was just hard not to like enjoy the dynamic. And he seemed like a person rather than a caricature of whatever they were trying to make Finn be.
So, well, you know, of course, you know, you said you can recognize when a story is not good. Of course, I can recognize when a story isn't good, when it's illogical, when it doesn't flow well, when the ending hasn't been justified, when it hasn't been earned, all that kind of stuff. I'm incredibly forgiving. I saw that Chris and Dan were just making it up as they were going along, and since I have no control over who writes the show, it didn't bother me because I couldn't influence it. I can go online and say this is bad, but ultimately I wasn't going to change what was happening. So I could either find ways to enjoy it and kind of not interact with what I didn't, or I could hate every moment of watching the show. Those were the two options for me. So, so I know exactly what you're saying. When it came down to it, the strike showed heavily where the areas of improvement that were needed on General Hospital immediately were. And that was in the soul of the characters, in the dynamics that they had, in the interactions that they had with one another. Because I was done with Brooklyn and Chase until the strike. And then their little cutesy stuff by the pool and this, that, the other stuff really rekindled that. And that was strike time.
That was missed. That's where that's the biggest thing that Chris and Dan missed. The little beats. The little things that built. The little family connections. They could give a good proposal scene, but you weren't really sure how these people got there. You know what I mean? So, but better things are coming.
You know what? It would be interesting to know. Oh, I'm sorry, off topic. But on topic to the podcast, that was Lexi Carver that came and visit Paulina Price Carver. Abe Carver is going to get his memory back.
Oh, LaShawn. Hey, LaShawn, welcome to the show. That was Lexi Carver that came and visited Paulina Price and Abe, or visit Paulina Price, and then a
Carver.
declaration that Abe is
I
going to get
think
his
that would
memory
be
back.
interesting if that's what happened. If it is, you know, in fact, you know, Lexi coming back to either help Abe get his memories back or something along the lines, that would be very interesting. I saw the promo as well. I'm not sure what they're planning to do there with that, because they have really been building up this, you know, intensity with the Paulina story and the possibility of her death. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not we're getting some kind of divine warning or some divine intervention to save her life,
Love it.
and who the divine party will be.
Exciting.
So
That's going to be
I am
exciting for
excited about
me.
that.
As a very
I'm also
newcomer to Days, that'll be exciting for me because I don't know who Lexi is.
Abe's first wife, true love, who died.
The premium Demera, the only black Demera. Well, she has a son now, or she had a son before she passed. So there, I'd say there's another one left in Theo. But,
I feel
you
like,
know, at,
I
when
mean,
she came into being, she was the only black Demera to
if
ever
you
exist.
sneeze in Illinois, you will give a Demira a cold. They are everywhere.
If.
So, oh goodness. Well, hey, you know, I wanted to thank you both for coming and hanging out with me here during this free period, Days for Dummies. We covered a lot. We covered a lot, and you know, I mean, covered important topics, covered not important topics, covered some more important topics. Covered a lot more unimportant topics.
We covered some soapboxes.
Proved that soap passion is very real.
Oh, yeah.
And that's good.
And if you guys like what you heard from me and Tony, we have our own podcast as well. We're doing one for each of the soaps. You can find the links on our social medias, and we have a Patreon and just all kinds of fun stuff. We have our February month-long recaps of each soap up, and we're working on our weeklies right now for to drop in the next day.
So yeah, keep your eyes open at Twitter, Brooklyn74 for official drops of links and episodes and all of that stuff when it's ready to roll out like the big ball of snow that it's going to be just coming down that hill, collecting momentum, growing as it does as you hop on and enjoy the presentations of Angela and Tony. So a little
Our
preview of
special.
that, little preview of that. You know how they were talking to each other? They're going to do that just without me in the middle. So when they're like, blah, 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 and getting all cool and passionate, and they're saying all these really important things, and they're making their points, and they're being logical, and I'm starting to get uncomfortable because of the subject matter, there's not going to be a stop.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
It's okay, Cheryl. You don't have to have a Twitter.
And we're bringing the petty.
Because you can also pay attention to things like Instagram, if you got that. Facebook, I'm sure it'll make its way there because it's important for Facebook. Given the age group.
I said they as if I'm not one of them.
They.
Right.
So maybe, you know.
All of it.
Just keep your eyes open on the socials.
They're just everywhere.
And beyond that, you know, I mean, maybe there'll be like a Calendarly update. I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but just keep your eyes peeled for the double P's out there.
Well, Tony's so great. She already put our first podcasts up on, Spotify, Amazon Music. They're all up there.
So if it's there and ready to consume, then all I have to do is just search for a little Petty Prattle, and it's going to come right up, right? Yeah.
Petty Prattle Podcast.
Petty Prattle Podcast. There. So, you know, they're going to prattle. They might petty.
We're definitely going to petty.
They're definitely.
There's no might petty.
Oh, there's definitely.
There is petty.
There's definite pettiness going on in that
there
podcast.
There is definite petty.
So join for the pettiness. Enjoy that. So you can check them out on the Petty Prattle podcast, covering your soaps with Tony and Angela. But that doesn't mean Angela's going away. She's going to stick around right here, continue to guide us through these classes on Days for Dummies. Professor Angela will not go anywhere.
And hopefully Mama Cat's back next week to keep us in line.
As we count down the days waiting for Jacarius to return for their epic battle. But that's it for Days for Dummies. I'm getting out of here. Kelly, I hope you fix your Facebook. But if not, hang out with us on Twitter. You can follow us on the socials down below if you would like. You can also search on Facebook for them as well. They will come on up. I will be back at 2 p.m. Pacific time with my mama for 10th Floor Podcast to cover all of your best bits of General Hospital that happened this week. But that's it for Days. So get out of here, class dismissed. Huh?
Make sure you
My final thought is I'm glad Holly's awake, and I hope this gets Tate off the hook finally.
Yes.
And Dimitri gets to come back because the baby goes home. That's what I hope. I miss Dimitri and Leo together. That's it, folks.
I do miss Dimitri.
Join us next week back here, 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Hi, everybody.
For Days for Dummies. I've been Matt.
I've been Angela.
And I'm Tony.
All
right. She's got it all figured out. And we'll catch you at 2 and also again next week. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.